Will you please join me in prayer? Loving God, we thank you for your blessings and your words. We thank you for the lessons that you have written on our hearts so that we may know you. God, help us to open our hearts and to hear your words. Amen. Today's gospel reading is one that whenever it kind of cycles around in the lectionary every few years, I'm always glad that we have the kids out of the sanctuary before we read the scripture, because this is that one time that Jesus says something and we don't really want our kids to follow it. Some people are like, what are you talking about? It's the washing the hands before you eat. You know, Mealy, I'm sure that this is a constant struggle with four little ones, the getting the soap and the water on the hands. Am I right? Yeah. She said they were having a little talk about that in the car on the way here, the importance of washing our hands. So, you know, we hear this scripture and we hear Jesus saying that, it's okay to not wash your hands before you eat. This is one of those moments that we get to really look at what Jesus is saying and the larger picture of the constant message of Christ, not having anything to do with hand washing, but about caring about the heart of the law over the letter of the law. Again and again in the stories about Christ, we hear one example and another about these religious authorities who come in and say, you and your people are not following the letter of the law, and Christ responds with it being about the spirit of the law. So this message isn't about biology, it's not about germs and bacteria that can live on your hands, which are concepts that certainly did not exist really in antiquity. But it's about Jesus and his followers behaving in one way and the religious authorities saying, who does this Jesus guy think he is? To take the tradition of the elders and point out that there is something more important than tradition. What is more important than tradition is relationship. It's the connection between individuals. It's community. So the writer of Mark's gospel goes on a little later to say this that wasn't in the reading this morning. It is from within the human heart that evil intentions come. It is from within the human heart that evil intentions come. That is a hard concept to accept, and yet I think we all kind of know that it's true, right? Jesus has a list of sexual immorality and theft and murder, adultery, wickedness, deceit, slander, all of these things that are harmful, each of these things that break down the communication, the relationship, the connection between people, people who are coming together to be in community and to serve God. And he says, these evil things come from within, and they are what defile a person. It's not about what you eat. It's not about following the letter of the law. It is about putting relationships first. Why are these things wrong? Because they hurt. They hurt people. So we have these examples throughout the Bible of cultural norms versus true justice. What does justice look like? What does true inclusion, radical inclusion, where everyone is welcome, what does that look like? Well, it can be hard to get there sometimes in community, right? It can be hard to get there in our families, where we have rules, right? We have rules that we follow, and we follow a lot of them because we've always done it this way. Have you ever tried to change something up, and hear that it's a terrible idea, not because the idea is bad, but that's how we always do it? When tradition stands in the way of experiencing God, it harms the body of Christ. When the rules that we have for ourselves and each other aren't about making the community stronger, but about building a fortress around ourselves to keep outsiders on the outside, it harms the body of Christ. So it isn't the germs and the bacteria and things on our hands when we eat that make us impure. It is when we put up all of these borders, we put up all of these regulations, we put up these things that prevent us from connecting to God, that we've always done it this way factor. And sometimes, like, how we've always done it is a good idea, P.S., wash your hands. But when the way that we have always done things continues to be the way that we do things so that people can be excluded, then we are doing the wrong thing. I'm not calling us out and going to list up on the slides some things we're doing wrong or anything like that, but when we find ourselves in situations where people bring creativity and excitement to our congregation and get shot down because that's not how we do it, we don't allow the Spirit of Christ to move through us. Those of you who are scared that you might come back next week and the chairs will be in a circle again like I did last year, oh my gosh, I wish all of you could see the look on my husband's face right now and Kathy James saying no, no, no. All right, so sometimes we try things and we don't have to try them again. Or we do. Some people liked it, all right, including me. But there are, you know, the important thing is that we try new things. We try things on. We try things like inviting our friends to come to church, even though I know that that is a big risk. That can feel awkward and strange and hard to do. And the other thing that we can try as we step out into this scary realm of trying new things, of stepping away from old patterns, is recognizing that words matter. The words that come from our mouths matter. As Jesus said, it's not what we put in our mouths, it's what comes out. The things we say can be horrible, can destroy people. George, in the kids' message, in his beautiful sentiment that he shared, that when we are angry, when we express our anger, our hearts crack open. That is a word of truth that comes to us from our little ones and also comes to us from Scripture. Good job, Mealy. What comes out of our mouths not only hurts the people who we hurt, but it hurts us. We crack our own hearts open. We harm ourselves in harming others. So when Christ says to be quick to listen and slow to anger, what does this mean? I know that it can be really hard to listen when we've got our anger on already. You know, when we're sitting there at the keyboard, scrolling through Facebook or on the phone, ready to be outraged at any moment. Anyone do that? Can you believe? Oh, did you see what they posted? I'm outraged. Before you've read the whole post, furious. Before you've really even clicked on the link to see what the thing was about, you're posting the angry comments. Has anyone done this, or am I the only one in the room who's ever done it? I am? Wow. Sometimes you preach the sermon you need to hear, apparently. So I am not saying that it is wrong to be angry. I am not saying that it is wrong to be outraged. In fact, Jesus is pretty clear about that. When it comes to injustice, we are supposed to be angry. We are supposed to get outraged. But this is also something that, especially in this kind of political season, that we could keep in mind. The Word of God, as Scripture tells us, is inside of us. That Holy Spirit, that force, that energy, that love of God, it is inside of us. And if it is inside of me and it is inside of you, then it's also inside of other people. Everyone. And yeah, we don't always act with the best intentions, And sometimes we do things to exclude. And it can be very hard as we're talking about politics to see that spirit of Christ in other people. I'm reminded of this footage that's been shown again and again in the last week or so after the death of John McCain, of that moment when a woman in a community forum thing says to him some hurtful words about Obama during the presidential election, and she doesn't, I don't think, even fully understand what the meaning of some of the words she's saying is, but what she is saying is he is an outsider and someone who can't be trusted. And John McCain says, no ma'am, we're not doing that. And yes, John McCain absolutely could have gone further with that and called that out and said, you are being racist. That would have been great. And we're holding multiple truths here that he acted with integrity in that moment. We are called to act with integrity. And before you think I'm promoting one candidate or another, everybody can guess who I voted for in that election. But I will say that even those whose political views I do not agree with, I struggle and I pray that I can get there to see that spirit of Christ, that spark of Christ's love inside of them. And I pray that all of us, as we venture into this political season even deeper, that we will be able to do the same. And yet, when there is injustice, we can be angry. But we need to be slow to that anger. That is what Scripture tells us. You know that saying, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention? I believe that. I'm not saying don't be outraged. It's not all good. It's not all smiles and rainbows and sunshine. We can be angry, and anger is holy. Anger is what brings about change. But anger must be of substance. Anger that is just born out of an addiction to that adrenaline rush we get when we know that we are right and the other person is wrong and we get to stomp on them, that's not holy anger. And I'm speaking as someone who has many times gotten swept up in it. What is holy and righteous anger is not the self-righteous anger, but the righteous anger that is rooted in justice. We each have this implanted word of God in us, and it is so difficult. Probably the hardest thing we ever can do in our lives is finding that implanted word of God and truly listening to it and acknowledging that other people are having that same struggle of finding God inside. Eric Fissler, UCC pastor, says, righteous anger doesn't seek defeat. Righteous anger seeks transformation. So when you're wondering if the anger you're feeling is of righteousness, is it that you seek to stomp on someone and beat them, defeat them, or to seek transformation? When we are righteously angry, Eric Fissler says, our holy anger is that which is outraged with as much love for the oppressor as the oppressed. And I am glad that Reverend Eric is there, but I'm not there. Maybe I'll get there someday, but I still struggle and I find it hard when I see oppression and when I experience oppression and when I see my beloveds in our community experiencing oppression to love the oppressor. Seeing the chosenness of others without othering people. We are told repeatedly throughout Scripture, including today and what we heard, that the heart of religion is caring for orphans and widows. Let's clarify for a moment what orphans and widows means. It's not just people who have experienced the male head of household dying. Orphans and widows are those who are single parents, those who are struggling to get by, those who have been rejected from families, from churches, those who are struggling to get enough food. That's what this means. It's not literal orphans as in women who do not, whose husbands have died and children whose parents have died. This is about people who are profoundly disenfranchised in a context where the disenfranchised have died again and again. And so we rise up with anger at injustice. It is Labor Day. Labor Day is not just another holiday. It is celebrating the time in which labor was something that was expected of people, 13, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, and workers rose up in righteous anger and said, "We are human beings. We deserve more." Like the Stonewall riots, where angry drag queens, women of color, trans women stood up and said, "We are not taking this anymore." Stood up for their white brothers, who were the main patrons of that bar, and said, "We are going to defend you and your right to stand here and have a drink and flirt with guys." Righteous anger transformed our community. Are we, my friends, doers of the word? Are we going to live into our righteous anger and also remember to listen, to slow it down, to see the Spirit of God in one another? As God puts that calling in our hearts, to know that the calling that we have to righteousness and wholeness means standing up in anger and also loving those of us who we seek to transform, not destroy. Amen.